This interview is with Dr. Robert Brackett, director of FDA's Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition. Dr. Brackett was scheduled to discuss agriculture and environmental implications of E. coli at the National Institute for Animal Agriculture Symposium on animal production practices in the food supply. However, due to a family emergency, Dr. Brackett was unable to attend the symposium, but graciously agreed to allow an interview with him to be distributed to the agricultural media on this important topic.
We have, for many years, taken outbreaks of foodborne illness, much as we've had with lettuce and with spinach in the past couple of years, as sort of isolated events, independent of anything else that's going on in agriculture, although we do know that there is a link to cattle with E. coli 157H7. But the one thing that in terms of coming up with a strategy or coming up with a policy across agriculture, we've never really put the pieces together ahead of time to try to figure out, you know, what's going on and how they all impact each other. And in this case, I think the obvious interactions are between animal agriculture and that in close proximity to ready-to-eat produce, and that was focused on with the spinach. But there are bigger implications on agriculture. That is, we have to take into consideration the environmental laws, the environmental implications that are also putting pressure on the farmers, and they're the ones that are the ranchers, the ones that are getting put in the middle, to make sure that they have buffer zones for wildlife, to make sure that water quality is maintained. In some cases, these may be in direct competition with what might be recommended for good agricultural practices for produce. So to have a more holistic view of the agricultural system is something that I'm trying to focus on.
I know there's been some talk in Congress, and especially after this the situation in California, about the potential of possible regulatory action to try and combat this kind of a situation. What are your feelings about that, or as opposed to the farmers actually taking the matters into their own hands and doing this on a voluntary basis?
Well, the one thing about the voluntary basis is it could be done much quicker. And, of course, regulatory action is something that we are considering, but the important key here is that in order to have an effective regulation that actually gets to what the problem is, that it solves the public health problem, you have to know what to do. And in some of these cases, we simply don't have the scientific data to make specific recommendations in a regulation. So what we're doing in the meantime is using the tools of guidance, which are much more flexible and much more easily implemented, to try to get at the best practices that could be used. And, of course, we need the cooperation with the farming community as well as the processors and the regulatory community to make these work.
Of course, E. coli is present in manure, and that's obviously the issue here. Manure used as a fertilizer or getting into the water supply. How could that issue be dealt with to try and sanitize manure or to try and make sure that the animals don't have E. coli in their digestive systems at all?
Well, I think you've just hit upon it, that there are many different strategies that could be used. Good agricultural practices are pretty much prevent or recommend preventing using raw animal manure on ready-to-eat products. So in many cases, composted products may be used or heat-treated products. But the problem is, I think, broader than just the direct application of manure onto these products. As you mentioned, the water systems, particularly in central valleys of California, we know that E. coli 157H7 are in those waters. The question is, how did they get there? How much do they survive? And what can we do to either eliminate it or prevent it? And what you recommended, minimizing the excretion or the harborage of that organism by cattle is one way. And I know there is research going on towards that end, including such things as vaccinating cattle for E. coli 157H7, changing of the diet in order to try to minimize the colonization. But what we need to do is actually make sure that all of the players are talking all of the time so that we know what the end game is. That is, the environmental concerns, the end users of the product, whether it's composted manure or not, and the animal industry.
And you mentioned the wild animal aspect of this, the fact that it may not, in some cases, even be cattle that are getting E. coli into a food system like that, but it might be deer or some other animals like that. How can they combat that issue?
Well, that's exactly the question that I would like to pose, that we have to not just focus on cattle and not just focus on application manure, but there are interacting sort of circumstances. The wild animals can either harbor, in the case of deer, for instance, E. coli 0157, but they can also just, by their mechanical spreading around, either contaminate produce or, in fact, go and recontaminate the domestic animals. Domesticated animals such as cattle or goats or something else. One of the problems we have at this point is we don't really understand the dynamics that's going on in the actual agricultural environment. We only know bits and pieces. We know that it gets on leafy greens. We know that it is shed by cattle. We know that wild pigs or deer may tromp through the cow manure and track it on. But we don't know whether that's a theoretical issue going on or whether in fact that's a major problem.
Because this is such a major issue, you know, when we've got people dying, this is something that has to be addressed. I was thinking in terms of, do you think that there's a way that this could be handled, say, on a state-by-state basis, because agriculture is so different between the various states, on, I'd say, like a round table type of discussion where you get all the players in, the livestock industry, the produce industry, the environmental people, the regulatory individuals. Is there a way that might be a way to address this situation?
That's a very good way to, and one of the suggestions I myself have made is to actually get everybody together. There may be some points of agreement that at least we can make some headway, and then where there are conflicts where perhaps animal agriculture may be hurt or plant agriculture may be hurt by some decision, to make sure that we can have creative ways. Once we know where the stumbling blocks are and where the problems are, we can then start focusing on solving those problems rather than just sort of focusing on our own issues.
That's all the specific questions I have, Dr. Brackett. Any message that you might have for consumers out there who might be concerned because of what seems like a rash of outbreaks recently related to food safety?
Well, yes. The outbreaks that we've had and the cases we've had have been tragic, and that does get people's attention. But I think the important point for consumers is that in considering the literal millions and billions of pounds of products that are consumed each year, the relative risk is rare, and certainly the benefit of eating fresh vegetables certainly outweighs the risk of microorganisms. These outbreaks are aberrations, and they're things that are unacceptable that we have to deal with. But right now, we are in what we consider to be a transitional period where we're finally getting the understanding of how all of these different factors sort of converge to create this food safety problem. And something that I think that we'll make great progress on in the next couple of years, and I think we will see a good bit of progress in the next 2 or 3 years on this, incrementally, as we understand. This is similar to what the beef industry went through in 1993 when they were dealing with an E. coli 0157H7. Once they understood what the problems were, they made great headway in addressing it.
That's Dr. Robert Brackett, director of FDA's Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.